On your way out this morning, we're doing something that's a little fundraiser for Tabitha's Pantry. Now, some of you have heard Brother L sing, and some of you haven't, but if you like Brother L, he's got a CD he made a few years ago. He just makes them at the house for just friends and stuff, but he had a Christmas CD that he'd done several years ago. I got a copy of it. I love it, and I enjoy it, and I asked him tonight, could we be careful we made a few copies and let them use them for a fundraiser for Tabitha's Pantry. So at the end of the service, Sister Joanne's going to be at the back of the church. And if you'd like to get a copy of Brother L's Christmas CD, he's not charging anything for it. We're not charging anything for him. But if you'd like to give a donation to Tabitha's Pantry, Sister Joanne will give you a CD. Amen. And it will help the pantry out through the winter months when it seems like they have a lot of issues always going on. And just a little something to encourage you and bless you. I really like the CD. It's a blessing to me. I've always enjoyed it. And I lost mine or give it away to somebody, and I can't remember which, but I'm glad I got another copy of it. And I've been after him for some time, and he brought me one the other night and some other ones, and we got them copied back there. So if you'd like to be a blessing to Tabitha's Pantry, stop by and see Sister Joanne and pick you up a CD. I know it'll bless your heart, and it'll encourage you and just get you in the mood for celebrating Christmas. Amen. All right, turn with us this morning into Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. We trust everyone has had a good week. Amen. And looking forward to a good week this week. Best way to start the week is to be in the Lord's house on the first day of the week. You know, we tend to call this part of the weekend, but it's not the weekend, it's the week beginning. Amen. It's the way to start the week. Luke chapter 2, if you found Luke chapter 2, if you're able to stand with us in reverence, honor, and reading of God's word, we'd invite you to do so. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Our Father, we thank you for this day and your blessings of life. We thank you for the Christmas season. And Lord, may we never lose sight of what the Christmas season is about, Father. It's become so commercialized and so adulterized, Lord, that many have forgotten the true meaning of Christmas. But Lord, we trust that as we go through this time, our hearts and minds would be focused on you, Lord, would be reminded, God, of what actually transpired on that first Christmas day as you sent your Son into this world. Lord, not to be a object to be celebrated, Lord, but an individual, Father, that would die for our sins, worthy of our celebration, worthy of our worship. And Lord, we just praise you, God, for loving us and sending your Son to die for us. And help us, God, just to realize that this season is about your love to us, your gift to us, and your sacrifice for us. And Lord, keep our minds centered on you. We thank you for what you've done and what you do. Be in the rest of this service and let each thing that's said and done be to your honor and glory and according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, learning what the shepherds learned. You know, them shepherds learned a great deal that first first Christmas morning, Easter morning, listen to me. The first Christmas morning, as they heard the good news and they went to see what had happened and what had transpired and found out that it was really real. And, you know, when we grasp what God has taught us and what God's Word tells us, and we come to the realization that, yes, it's really real, it's a life-transforming thing that happens. You know, it's not all about Santa Claus, and it's not all about gifts, and it's not all about these things. Brother T.D. Burgess called me the other day, and I couldn't figure out which one of the Southerners it was that called. My brother, he always calls me and aggravates me about things every now and then. He said, been a while. He said, this is Santa Claus, and I'm just checking up on Dennis and finding out if he's been naughty or nice. And I said, well, I'm about as nice as I get, and it's about all they're going to get. And Brother T.D. is 89 years old, still excited to preach about Jesus. Amen. And he was just sharing how God had been blessing. He said, you don't see souls saved like you used to, but you still see them saved. Amen. And that's a great thing, amen, that God is still working and God is still using people who are willing and people who have realized that what God's Word has said is in fact the truth and in fact is real, amen. It just makes it ring home to you. The shepherds learned that, and we want to look at the shepherds for a few moments here this morning and just see the things that they learned, the things that transpired in that time that the angels appeared unto them, and how they went to see the babe in the manger and how it affected their lives. First thing they learned is this, and the first thing that we all need to come to the realization is that God is no respecter of persons. You know, the shepherds in their day were looked down upon. Shepherds weren't, you know, we think of shepherds being some noble profession in the Middle East, but it's not that shepherds are looked down upon. Even when Joseph introduced his family to Pharaoh, do you remember back in Genesis where Joseph told him, don't tell them that you're shepherds. It's an abomination. That's it. They're looked down upon. They don't care much for shepherds. But when Jacob went into Pharaoh, what was the first thing he did? He told him he was a shepherd. Amen. When you're what you are, you're what you are. Amen. Now, men might look down upon you, but I'm thankful that God doesn't. Amen. That God sees us just like we are. And God knows us. And God went to the shepherds that night. He could have went to the palace of kings and made the announcement that his son, the king of all creation, was going to be born and was born that night. He could have went to the temple and had the priest proclaim it in some great religious ceremony in some way and in some manner. But instead, that night, he came unto the shepherds. Look in verses 8 and 9. The Bible says that there were and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Praise God. I'm glad that as he looks upon us, he sees us, and he understands us, and he realizes us, and yet he loves us anyway. Yet he still comes to us anyway. It don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how society views you and how society sees you. The only thing that matters is what God sees in you and what God sees about you and knows about you. Amen. It don't matter what anybody else says. What matters is what God knows. Amen. And if we realize that God looks at us and he understands and he realizes us, he realizes that we are who we are and we are what we are. And the psalmist said that several times. We're but dust, but you care about us. I'm low, I'm poor and needy, and yet the Lord still cares. The Lord still thinketh upon me. Amen. The psalmist realized several times that he was nothing, but yet God still cared about him. Amen. Yet God still loved him. Still, God still looked down upon him. In the book of Acts, in chapter 20 or chapter 10, verse 34, Peter come to that realization when God told him to go with Cornelius, when God dropped the sheet three times before him and told him to kill and eat, and Peter said, no, he said, I'm not doing it. I've never touched any unclean thing. I'm religious, and I'm not going to do that. And God said to go. And when Peter went, he came back, and he said, I can testify to this, that the same God that put his spirit in me and breathed his spirit upon me has done it to the Gentiles. He breathed upon this Gentile and upon his family, and I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You know, God will touch your life and God will bless your life, irregardless of who you are, if you'll allow him into your life. Paul proclaimed in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 how that, as he's talking about the sinful nature of man, the sinful character of man, and the need that man has. And Paul said that God is no respecter of persons. He looks at your sin and he sees your sin for what it is. Amen. And you're no different than any other sinner. It doesn't matter what your sin is. God is no respecter of persons. Sometimes we want to categorize sin, and we want to have big sin and little sin and gross sin and not so bad sin, but sin is sin. And when God sees a sinner, he sees you for who you are, regardless of what your sin is. Just as much as God wants to bless you, no matter who you are, God wants to cleanse you from your sin, no matter what it is. And you're not too good that you don't need God to touch you and cleanse you from your sin. Your sins aren't so minute that they're not a big deal and you're not worried about them. You're not so good that you don't need salvation. God is no respecter of person. God doesn't categorize sin. We do. Amen. When God looks and sees us and there's sin in our life, what God sees is sin. Amen. And he wants to save us. He sent his son. The reason that Jesus was born, the reason that the angels were proclaiming and coming unto these shepherds and shining their glory and the glory of God round about them, was he wanted them to know that a Savior was going to be born. What we need to learn today is it doesn't matter who we are. God sent his son to die for us. None so good that they don't need to be saved, and none so bad that they can't be saved. God is no respecter of persons. He can take the lowest sinner and bring him from the lowest depths of depravity and use him to the greatest glory for his purpose. Why? Because it doesn't matter to God. He's no respecter of persons. He can take nothing and make some. He can take nobody and make somebody. Amen? He loves us. And he wants to save us. The next thing that these shepherds learned that night, if you look down to verses 10 to 14, is that God has a word that is specifically for you. God spoke to them that night. The Bible says in verse number 9, and they were sore afraid. But in verse number 10, we see that the first thing that the angels tell them when they begin to speak to them and they begin to share the word with them and what the message is that God has sent them to deliver is, the first thing that they tell them was to fear not. They're afraid, but God wants them to know they don't need to be afraid. They're fearful of what's happening, but God says, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Over 365 times in one form or another, God reminds us we don't have to be afraid. Time and time again, God is speaking that. Sometimes he uses that exact phrase, fear not. Other times it's, do not be afraid. Or other ways that he communicates that. He knows their heart, and he knew they were afraid, but he wants them to have peace in their heart and peace in their life. He don't want that fear to override their lives and dictate to their lives what was going to happen and what's going to transpire. So the first thing he does is tells them that they don't have to be afraid. You know, sometimes we go through life and we're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of our relationships. We're afraid of our finances. We're afraid of what our children are doing. We're afraid of what we see happening to our parents as we watch them grow older and we see them grow feeble. We're afraid of this and we're afraid of that. But the angel of the Lord comes and says, fear not. Fear not. I've got some reasons that you don't have to be afraid. I got some reasons to tell you some things I want you to know that's going to remove all that fear. Some people are fearful. Kids are fearful of their parents. Parents are fearful of their children. I know people that live in, adults that live in homes with their grown children and they lock themselves in, they're scared of their kids. Kids that are afraid to go home because of what's going to happen. And these fears are real. You may not realize them, and you may not know them, and you may not see them, you may not experience them, but in the hearts of these that are fearful, they are real fears. And you might have fears in your heart and in your life that are just irrelevant to anyone else. And people might look at you and wonder, why are they afraid about this? And why are they afraid of going through this? Or why are they afraid of facing this? I just don't understand it. You don't have to, because that fear is real in that individual's life. And friend, whatever it is that you're fearful of this morning, whatever it is that you're struggling with today, God wants you to know that you don't have to be afraid. You can trust Him. You can lean on Him because He wants you to realize He's given you everything that you need. He's given you everything that's required to cope with that fear. The first thing the angel says is to fear not. Man, if we can get past our fear, we can get to the place where we can realize what God has done. We can see what God is doing. We can see what God can do and wants to do. Amen? Sometimes we can't see God's hand moving because we're too afraid. In verse number 10, he says, fear not. But in verse number 11, he says, here's the reason that you no longer need to fear. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, but I know one who can save you from it. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you're into. I don't know where your life is, but I know the Savior. Amen. I don't know what you're struggling with and what you're fighting with. I don't know what's about to crush you and what's about to destroy you. Maybe it's destroying you physically. Maybe the doctor has given you some bad news and you're fearful of the news that has come from the doctor. You're fearful of the news that the doctor can't give you. Sometimes the doctors just don't have the answer and you're afraid. But friend, I want you to know something. I know the one that's the Savior and he might not heal a body. He might not change a physical condition, but praise God, He can take a body that's been struggling and a body that's having problems and make all the difference in your life and in your outlook when you realize that you have a Savior, you don't need anything else. Maybe you're about to go under the weight of a mental, emotional problem that you're struggling with. And you just dwell on it and you ponder on it. And friends, they're real. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this point blank. Any preacher that stands in a pulpit and tells you that if you are having emotional or mental struggles in your life, and you can just get over this, all you need is Jesus, you need not to even listen to him anymore. Because most likely he's taking medicine for a heart problem. He's taking medicine for diabetes. He's taking medicine for this. He's taking medicine for that. And if he's got to take medicine for that and tells you you don't need medicine because you're struggling with an emotional or a mental problem that's going on in your life, then he's a two-faced individual. And yes, that's right on the video. That's right on live stream. I'm going to tell you that point blank. I see big old preachers that I know are on heart medicine, diabetes medicine. They probably take 10 pills every day to make it through the day and get up and tell people that you don't need to take medicine for a mental condition that you're struggling with. Amen? Well, what's the difference? The same God that can heal the mind is the same God that can heal the body. If you don't need to take something because you've got a chemical imbalance in your brain, but he needs to take something because he's a physical and some kind of a chemical imbalance in his body somewhere. Duh. Hey, man. But let me tell you this. The same God that can touch the physical body is the same God that can touch the mental and emotional body. The same God that can bring peace to the man struggling with the physical problem is the same God that can bring peace to the individual struggling with the mental problem and with the emotional problem. Some people, they don't see the worth. God can come alongside you as your Savior and let you know that you are so valuable, even though you might not see any value and any worth in your own life, that you were so valuable to Him that He was willing to give everything that He had. Some people are about to go under because their financial problems are becoming greater than they can bear. And I will say this, most of the time when we have financial issues, they're of our own making. Amen. You can say amen right there or ouch. Amen. They're of our own making. Amen. But the God that made the trees, the sun and the stars and the moon, is the same God that made all the gold that everybody's seeking after. The same God that tells the ones that neglect him that he can blow upon your money and it'll disappear, is the same God that can take a little and make much out of it. Amen? Can take a little cruse of oil and multiply it and make it flow over in abundance. He's the same God that told the shepherds to fear not. Amen. Why? Because there's a Savior. Amen. There's a Savior. There's a Savior for the soul. There's a Savior for the needs that we have. He's not just my Savior that's going to take me to heaven. He's my Savior for every need and every situation I face in life. Amen. He's just not a Savior that keeps me from going to hell. He's a Savior that helps me to cope in the world that I'm living in. He's just not the Savior that gave his life for me on Calvary's cruel tree, but he's the Savior that I depend on every day when I wake up, for every breath of air that I breathe, for every morsel of food that I eat, for the house that I live in, for the car that I drive, for the toys that I have and the things I have to play with. He's the same God that provides it all. My Savior Savior is my Savior. He's not just my spiritual Savior. He's my physical Savior. He's my mental Savior. He's my Savior in everything that I have need of. Amen. Man, you can't just put him in a little box. They said, fear not. Fear not. For unto you a Savior, this day a Savior is born. And then, the next thing, in verse number 12, that the angel tells them, you can know him. Amen. You don't have to fear. Amen. You don't have to fear. Because there is a Savior. Well, how do I identify him? How am I going to know him? Let me tell you what. You'll have no doubt. Amen. You'll have no doubt. You won't have to wonder who it is. You won't have to wonder, is this him or is this not him? And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Praise God. I want you to know that Jesus came into this world a Savior for all mankind. Amen. A Savior for all of humanity. A Savior for every individual. But you can know him on a personal level. And you'll have no doubt when he shows up and when he comes by. He showed up that night in the city of David. And they told him, you're going to find him. This will be a sign. There's no doubt who he is. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Friend, when he comes by today, when he shows up today and he speaks to your heart, he's knocking at your heart's door. He's bringing conviction to your heart. He's speaking to you whatever it is and however he ministers to you. There's no doubt who he is. You'll know him. Amen. Amen. You'll know him. I'm glad that I can know him. I'm glad that I can know his salvation. I'm glad that I can know his peace. I'm glad that I can know his assurance and his confidence and his help and his direction in my life. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I know him because I met him one day and I met him on a personal level and there wasn't no doubt in my heart and my life who he was when he was speaking to my heart. It wasn't no doubt as to what he wanted when he come my way. And praise God this morning, you can know him. And you'll have no doubt it's him. Amen. Perhaps he's speaking to your heart right now. And you said, man, I've been going through something and I never realized that I had someone who cared so much for me. And he's speaking. That's who it is that's speaking to my heart right now. Yes, you can know him. And he's a Savior worth knowing. The psalmist said in Psalm 85, 8 and 9, he says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. Amen. I'm glad when the Lord speaks, he brings peace. Amen. Amen. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Amen. I want you to know something this morning. I'm glad that I can know him. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that I have peace that comes from him, and the peace that he gives, the world can't take away. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he knows what I need. And he knows when I need it. And he knows to let me know that he's providing it. You know, aren't you glad that you can ask direction, you can ask guidance from God for anything in your life? Sometimes we want to relegate him to this high and holy experience and just leave him right there. He's only there for the worship. He's only God in the worship time. How about when you're going through problems in your life? I have been working on equipment. Yes, old pieces of scrap iron. And come up to something that just, I mean, we work on equipment, Brother Steve can tell you, they have miles and miles and miles of wiring in them. electronics and computers and all those stuff, all those things that made everything work. And you can't see all the problems. But you have to learn how to find the problems. And I've on more than one occasion, I can tell you this. I tell you how I believe my God works in my life is that I can ask him to show me a problem on a piece of equipment that I'm working with because I want to be a productive and a good employee. And I believe he'll do it. I don't just relegate him to the church house and the church service. Amen. I want him a part of my life. We get ready to travel up the road. I pray, Lord, I want you to give us traveling mercies. I want you to be with us. Amen. I want you to prosper our way before us. Whatever it is that we're dealing with and whatever it is. I want him there in every part of my life. Why? Because I want the peace that he brings. I get frustrated. I still get aggravated and frustrated and all those things, but I have peace in knowing that he's in control. I have peace in knowing that I've turned everything over to him. I'm glad that he speaks peace to us. He speaks hope to us. And he speaks confidence to us. Fear not, a Savior is born. This is a sign. You can know him. And I'm glad that I know. I hope you know this morning. If you don't know, you can't know. If you don't know, I hope as he's speaking to your heart right now, you want to know. Amen. Look what the next thing that these shepherds did in verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Those shepherds learned at night that by faith you can see Jesus. By faith you can experience exactly what God's word has said you could see and said you could know. They told him they would find him. And praise God, they said, let's go see. By faith they chose to take God at his word. By faith they journeyed to where God said they had to be. And by faith, praise God, they laid their eyes upon the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Amen. And I know this morning that there are some here that say, well, I'm just not sure about all this. Let me tell you something. If you'll step out by faith, amen, you'll see what God wants you to see. If you'll step out by faith, there are children of God here that are born again, bought with the blood, but they've never stepped out in faith just to see what God could do in their lives. They've never stepped out in faith to let God have his way. They've never stepped out in faith to say, Lord, here I am. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go. How do you want me to work and what it is you want me to do? They were afraid to step out by faith and they see nothing. But here's these shepherds. They're unlearned, uneducated, considered unreliable, somebody nobody wanted. But they had enough faith to trust God and to take him at his word. And praise God, because they did, they seen one of the most glorious things anybody could ever lay their eyes on. I've seen some beautiful things in this world. Man, this summer we sat on a mountaintop. We had a cabin on a mountaintop that looked down over one of the most beautiful valley scenes you could ever see. Just absolutely majestic. I've stepped out of the elevator at Niagara Falls and looked at it from the top and went to that place where you go down to the bottom of the falls and took that elevator down and stepped out, and you come out and you can't really see the whole falls. You don't get the whole effect, and you come out and there's a little crop of land that sticks out or something. I forget what it was, but as soon as you walk around that little outcrop and come around the corner, wow, there it is. It's indescribable. You can't tell somebody how glorious. It's kind of like the living Christmas tree. You can't tell people just how good a program that is. Amen? And when they go see it, man, that is really good. You know, you tell them, but they just can't grasp it until they go see it for themselves. And there's things like that in this world that have just inspired me. To see the Alps. Hey, man, Brother Jim probably tell you, traveling through the Mediterranean, did you ever get to close enough where you could just see the Alps and see the snow-capped mountains? That was one of the most awesome things I ever seen in my life. As we traveled up along the coast of France and stuff there, and just, you know, and hundreds of miles away probably, but you could see these majestic mountains and the snow-capped peaks, and oh man, it's just awe-inspiring. But there's not a sight in this world. I've always wanted to see the Grand Canyons. I've always wanted to see the giant sequoias and the redwoods. I think there'd be something to see. It's part of God's creation, awe-inspiring, but nothing that this world has can inspire the awe of seeing Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like? Let me tell you this. The night I got to meet him. Amen. The night I took God at his word. I was just in amazement at what it was like when Jesus came into my heart. It was an amazing thing. It was an awe-inspiring moment. It might not have meant anything to anybody else, but to me it meant the world. To me it meant eternity. Amen. But I had to step out in faith. And God had been telling me, God had been speaking to me. But I had been rejecting and refusing. But I couldn't wait any longer. I couldn't reject him anymore. And I stepped out in faith. And I learned just exactly what that word faith means. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or verse number 1 says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, he says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." They were willing to believe God's word. They were willing to go where God said. And they got to see what God had promised. Friends, I want you to know something. These shepherds were probably just as religious as anybody else. They probably went through all the rituals. They weren't welcome because they were considered unclean because of dealing with animals. You realize a shepherd was only considered one step up from a leper. A leper was the lowest class of individual in that time, not just in Israel, but in that time frame. And a shepherd was only considered one step up above that. And yet, all they knew all the religion, they knew all the things that had to be done. And they were tending to the sheep that no doubt were producing the lambs that they say were probably used in the worship in the temple at Jerusalem. And although they were doing all these things, their lives were filled with so many meaningless traditions and actions. But that night they got to see Jesus. Because that night they weren't going through the routine. They weren't going through the motions. You know, most of you come in here this morning, you just go through the motions. We go to the church. We come in. I won't say most of you. I say many of you. A lot of us sometimes we go through. We're guilty of it. All of us. We go through the motions. Or go into church. Or go into worship. But that night, through faith, they seen the glory of God. If you're going to see the glory of God for yourself, you're going to have to step out in faith to do it. Amen? You're going to have to step out in faith and do what God has told you to do. Go where God has told you to go. If you want to see Jesus, You're going to have to do it the way that he said. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven? You're going to have to go through Jesus. Amen. You want to get saved? You're going to have to do it the way that God says, not the way that man says. It has nothing to do with being sprinkled. It has nothing to do with being baptized. Jesus said, if we believe in our heart and confess it with our mouth, we shall be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We need to do it God's way. And trust him. And trust his word. To secure our eternal salvation. To secure our invitation to see God. Because that's the only way we're going to do it. We see that shepherds learn that God's no respecter of person, and his word is a word that speaks to us each as individuals. He has just what we need. But we got to act on that word. We got to step out in faith. And then once you experience that, look in verses 17 and 18. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, when somebody does something really good to you, you want everybody to know how good they were. Amen? Unless somebody has specifically told you not to do anything. Did anybody see on the news this week about the company down in Baltimore that gave out the bonuses? It made national news. It was a real estate investment company. And they handed out Christmas bonuses that ranged, I think it was $100 to over $500,000. And the bonuses were based on your tenure, how long you had been there. And what your position was and different things. There's a formula they had. But people who thought they were nothing, they were just employees of the company, got a check, and they all got their check at the same time, and they had a big banquet, and all the employees were there, and they all got their red envelope, and they had the red envelope, and when the president of the company told them they could open a red envelope, they opened their envelopes, and they looked in, and people got $50,000, $150,000, $250,000, and they got things that changed their life. And as the people were interviewing, people were quick to want to tell how great a thing this was that had happened in their life. It was unexpected, and it was awesome, and it was great. They wanted everybody to know how good a company they worked for, how good a boss they had, and how he had blessed them tremendously. Some were getting themselves out of debt. Some were paying off student loans, and they had a big myriad of things that they were doing with this money and using it. And some were going to pay it forward because God had blessed them and had done something for them. They wanted the world to know, as they were being interviewed on national TV, that they were going to pay it forward. I'll tell you something, if God has done something good for you in your life, if God has blessed you to the point to where you know that you've got to see Jesus, you've got to meet Jesus, you got to know Jesus, and God cared enough about you to let you see Jesus, praise God, don't you think you ought to have an obligation to let the rest of the world know how good God has been to you? We got to get out of the mentality of walking around all pooch mouth every time something isn't going our way. God's still God in the valley. Amen. God's still God in the storm. God's still God in the fire. And praise God, sometimes he tries us through the fire. Sometimes he takes us through the storm. Amen. Sometimes he takes us to the valley. Sometimes he hides us in a cave. Just to remind us that no matter where we're at, he's there with us. He was there with them. Emmanuel, God with us. The Savior of the world is there with us. How can you keep such good news to yourself? How can you not tell your friends and your family what good things Jesus has done? People look at you, oh man, you've worked hard. No, God has blessed me. Amen. Oh, God, you've got this and you've got that. And, you know, you sure have done a lot. I've been blessed. People ask me, how you doing? I said, if I was doing any better, it'd have to be two of me. Amen. People stop and look at me. I said, God's blessed me. Amen. God has blessed me. I'm a blessed man. Amen. I know I'm a blessed man. And I want the world to know where my blessing's coming from. When they seen the Savior, when they got to experience what God had said, the Savior of the world, they couldn't keep it quiet. I like that old song. Well, then I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Yes, I told everybody how he set my spirit free. Well, now I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet, but I told it all day and I tell it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord had done for me. Amen. I tell you what, when we get saved and we experience what God has done in our heart and in our life, we ought to want to tell everybody, because everybody that them old shepherds told, them old unreliable, those old lying, cheating, thieving, undesirable shepherds, everybody that they told wondered at those things. You might not think your word has any bearing. You might not think, well, no one's going to listen to me. Amen. They listened to the shepherds. The lowest rung of society. Because they told about a great thing that God had done. They testified. But then they learned how to do something I don't know if they had ever done. What was the last thing in our text that they did? Did you all read the text with me this morning? Praising God and glorifying God.
Yes,
amen. Amen. They learned when a God that is so good that he would look at somebody like them and announce to them the greatest news and speak to them the greatest peace and share with them the greatest hope and give them the greatest ability to understand and know that and to tell everybody there was something worth praising him for. I don't think they'd ever got a praise on like that. I don't think they ever had anything really that got them excited like that. That's just what Jesus will do for you. Amen. He'll put a song in your heart. He'll put praise on your lips. Amen. When we grasp what it is that God has done, when we grasp the enormity and the immensity of all that God has done when Jesus was born, it'll make us celebrate Christmas in a different light. It'll make us want to tell people a different story and a different tale. I'm going through the same old problems. We could change our song. Well, I'm going through problems, but I'm not going through them alone. My Jesus is right there with me. Amen. I've got health issues and my health ain't all that it should be, but praise God, yeah, Jesus is right there with me. Amen. They said I'm going to die, but let me tell you what, they can only take this old body once. My soul is going to live forever. My soul is going to live eternally. Amen. I've got something to shout about. I got something to sing about. I got something to have peace and assurance and confidence in my heart about. I've got something to glorify God about. Why? Because a Savior was born.
Amen.
For me.
Yes,
and I got to meet him.
Amen.
And I want to tell everybody about him. Because I want you to go to heaven. I want you to experience all that God has in store. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's give a song of invitation. I want you to know him in all that he is. So we stand to our feet and